you did enlist in the Army. How long did you serve?
They're required 2.5 years.
What form of the military were you in?
I was in the Army, in the intelligence service.
How long were you in that work?
For almost 2.5 years. The only time we had to wear a uniform, carry a rifle, was in boot camp. But our operation was so hush-hush that we were in Jerusalem, in a run-of-the-mill building, listening in to the enemy. It was interesting.
You talked about the Arab nations. Was Israel then fearful that they were going to be invaded?
The threat was always there. I was there during what you know here is the Suez Campaign. We called it the Sinai Campaign. It's the same thing in 1956.
Tell us about that campaign.
Well, that campaign was, of course, Egypt and Jordan, and, you know, they all invaded. Fortunately, we were able to repel them. It started when Egypt blockaded the Suez Canal. That particular war actually was joined by the British and the French, too, because their ships were involved. The wars after, you heard of the Six-Day War.
Yeah.
Of course, I was already here during the Six-Day War.
But you were in Jerusalem in that building listening in on Morse code while that invasion took place.
Mm-hmm.
And you continued to then monitor the enemy.
Right.
Do you think the information you obtained was pretty valuable so that it really helped?
I imagine it was. See, the whole thing is the decoders, those decoding sections, they were the real brains of the operation.
So you were the collector.
My job was to get it right, which wasn't easy because they knew that we were listening in on them, our earphones on. It would, and all of a sudden they sort of, bee, right in your ear, you know, because they knew we were listening in to them. So it took a lot of concentration. In fact, it was so strenuous on your nerves that we only did it in 4-hour shifts.
Wow.
So that was interesting.
2.5 years of doing that.
Yeah, close to that. Didn't do much for my hearing.
Yeah. Then what happens?
After I got out of there, I went to work as a bellhop in a hotel in Haifa, in Israel. The owner of the hotel was too cheap to buy us bellhop uniforms, so I had to wear my only good suit I had to my name. And that turned out pretty well because I would carry the suitcase and a guest would complain about something, but I was there in my suit and tie. I would tell him, well, I'll see what I can do about it, you know. See, I sounded more important than I would have been in a bellhop uniform. And I'll never forget carrying a suitcase of an Englishman, and he gave me a tip. I said, thank you, sir. He looked at me and he said, I haven't been knighted yet. See, oh, only a knight.
I haven't been knighted yet.
But later, I decided I need to do something not to have to serve in the reserves, because in Israel at the time, you had to serve in the reserves until age 49. And I had enough of the military. So one way to get out of it was to join the Merchant Marines. But you had to have some kind of trade. So I went to waiter's school. There was a waiters and cook school. I still have the notebook on that. We had to learn about the wines and foods, which wine goes with what. We had to wear the cummerbund and the little bow tie. So I eventually, after working on weddings and bar mitzvahs, finally joined the Merchant Marine. That was an interesting experience. I got to see the world. I came to the United States before I ever immigrated here.
But you were a waiter then?
Yes.
I worked in food service in the Merchant Marines.
Yes, I was not a seaman. I was a waiter. What I didn't like about the job was that the customer's always right. You had to smile no matter what, you know. A frozen smile on your face. No matter how obnoxious the customer is, you had to smile. But it kept me out of the reserves, and I got to see the world. I remember one experience when we arrived in Mobile, Alabama. That was, of course, during segregation. At that time, they didn't have separate buses, but the whites would sit in front and the blacks in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the whites could sit anywhere they wanted to. There was no room in front, so I sat in the back, kind of bench seat. By the back of the bus. Presently, an elderly black gentleman came with a cane. So, remembering my good manners, I got up and offered him my seat. Well, the white guy beside whom I was sitting, I'll tell you, if looks could kill, I wouldn't be here talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to spread himself so there wouldn't be enough room for anybody else to sit. That was an interesting experience.
And you gave your seat to a black man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the white man didn't...
He didn't appreciate
it.
Didn't appreciate it at all. Those were different times, and I'm glad they have changed. Some of it has changed for the better, but not everything.
Right. Are you feeling anti-Semitism in that period of your life there?
No, not really. But then don't forget that I'm not like a traditional Jew wearing the skull cap and all that, so... I haven't really experienced this since I've been here.